Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you guys. This is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. I know you having an awesome evening, morning, afternoon, whatever will apply in your case. The people that's live here, you know I love you. The people that's archiving, I love you. You know we love you here at Good Deeds. What we do is we educate, we motivate, and we inspire you that you can what? That all of us can make wise decisions, and we can actually walk out our dreams, our goals, our purpose, and, of course, our destiny in life. You know, we do that in so many ways through the radio show, which you are here with us, and through television, through our speaking platforms, through our publishing company that's, watch out for it. There's a lot of new books coming out and a lot of new things coming out in that area. And we actually, what we do is share other people their dreams, you know, because you got that dream inside. So we got, guess what? We're going to put it out there for you. If you want more information about Good Deeds, please go to our website, www.reneesunday.com. You know, I want to let you know, there's so many things we have that we're not grateful for. We actually, if you take a deep breath in and out, guess what? You're exchanging oxygen for carbon dioxide. We have to breathe in the oxygen and get rid of the bad stuff, the carbon dioxide, what we breathe out. We have to be grateful for the things that we don't even think about all the time. Just breathing. Actually, we have the basic necessities of life, you know, food, shelter, somewhere to live, and things like that. You know, but the key that I want to say is so many people need your help. So we also have a new Sunday Foundation, which is a public foundation. Our website is www.thesundayfoundation.org. So you can get some information about how you can volunteer, help us with that, and get the word out of how we're helping people. You know, because they have to have a basic necessities before they can actually walk out their purpose. Think about it. And also what we want you to do is just pray for people all over this land and country, because things you're going through, guess what? You're not alone. And that's why we have this awesome, awesome young lady with us today. We have the awesome Melissa Holmes. She is, I love her. Her bio is just a lot of information that we can apply to our life, okay? You know, one thing we never do in life is point a finger at someone else. We always make sure we come together as a village and we help each other out. She's a domestic violence survivor turned advocate, and I just love that, because the thing is, she told me in the green room, the thing she's been through, it's time to share that. It's time to get it out so some other person can say, a male or female, right, can say, I'm not alone, and these are different resources and things we need to actually do that we can actually get through the situations we're in. We want to welcome none other than Melissa Holmes. Are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
I'm so great. Thank you so much for taking, you know, time out your busy schedule to be here with us on Good Deeds.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome, awesome. Well, let's get this really started so we can actually gain as much information as we can and resources. Tell us a little bit more about yourself and the awesome things that's going on in your life.
Absolutely. I think you touched based on exactly what it is, you know, that Melissa consists of. I'm a two-time domestic violence survivor. You know, I turned advocate. I turned my pain into my purpose. And, you know, I think the reason that I survived my last abusive relationship was to help others and educate others and bring awareness to domestic violence. I decided that I was going to become the voice for the voiceless, you know, because there were so many lives that has been lost to domestic violence, which I think is just, you know, it so many sad cases are happening today, and women are losing their lives, you know, for over nonsense, is something as little as jealousy, or somebody can't walk away, or you can't even admit that you have issues to try to work on the relationship. I think, you know, in order to have a healthy relationship, you know, we have to start to build a healthy community. And because this, what people don't know is that domestic violence, it affects everyone. You know, it's everybody's responsibility. It affects your family. It affects you know, the community that you live in. You know, everybody should get involved instead of turning the blind eye, you know, get involved and see what it is that they can do to help the situation. And so that's what I decided to do.
Wow, that's powerful. But can I, let's step back a minute because, you know, and I know a lot of people define words in different ways. Give us a working definition or a definition in your standpoint of what is considered to be domestic violence. Because we have a lot of people that's on our line that actually are millennials, you know, they're young people. So we have to let them know at an early age what the definition. So kind of help us with that.
Absolutely. The definition of domestic violence, anytime that you feel uncomfortable about a situation or someone is in a way, a manner that someone is speaking to you, if he raises his voice, if he calls you out of your name, even if it's just stupid, he doesn't have that right to call you out of your name. We all have arguments. Everyone has arguments in a relationship. I think it all depends on how you handle yourself in that conversation. I mean, we can sit and we can have a general conversation, and it doesn't have to get where as though either one of us are raising our voice and being called out of our names. I mean, we can always agree to disagree. I think that certain people just don't know or don't have the communication skills to be able to communicate like an adult. And so they go to, unnecessary measures. They may feel like you're not listening. They're not being heard. So they do things like call you out of your name or grab you or things like that to get your attention. And that's abuse. No one deserves to have their hands put on another one. And I think that if it gets to that point, then, you know, you need to call it quits. Anytime it has to result in, you know, one spouse putting their hands on the other spouse, then that relationship is starting to become toxic.
Mm. Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. But, you know, the thing that is happening, and I'm not making an excuse whatsoever by leading in with this question. You know, a lot of people I have heard that, you know, when they have trouble at work, they bring it home. So do you think that we're having these high numbers because there's so much stress out in the world, you know, i.e. job, i.e. our business, you know, just kids having concern? Do you think that those plethora, those items, is it actually increasing the occurrence of domestic violence?
You know, I actually think that it is playing a big part of a lot of cases, you know, but it goes back to, you can't use that as an excuse. You know, whatever is going on, if you're at your workplace and you have a very stressful job, you know, I think people have to learn how to separate the two. Whatever is happening at work, once your day is over at work, whatever it is, you must leave it there. You cannot bring what's going on at your workplace home because in the end, your family is all you have and may be the only ones that be able to hold you down. But if you're going to bring what you have experienced during your daytime at work home and then you're taking it out on everybody at home, you know, then the quiet place that is supposed to be your sanctuary, supposed to be your peace of mind, has now become a part of a war zone just like your workplace. So you really have no place to go to escape to get that peace of mind. You know, I think that, you know, they have to learn how to, if you have one of those stressful jobs, they have to learn the coping skills to, okay, once I walk out this door at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or whatever time you leave, whatever is going on here is going to stay here until I arrive back here tomorrow morning. Once I get home to my front door and I stick that key in the front door, it's family time. My family has nothing to do with what happened at work today. That's the place where I have to maintain and provide for my family. So, you know, I think, you know, they bring in their work loads home and they're taking it out on people that has nothing to do with that. And it just, I honestly believe that it is playing a part. Is it acceptable? No.
That's right. Amen. That's it. That's it. You know, because we always make, I'm saying we mean, you know, in generic of people, we make excuses for this, that, and that. But let me ask you this, because if you look at a lot of the you know, write-ups, the case reports, et cetera, they say a lot of domestic violence occur in families where abuse was in their family. You know, that, like you said, going back to the skill set that we actually acquired as a child, I mean, okay, if we're saying that occurred, how, I mean, are there really, you know, in this day and time, you would think you can Google anything, but are there any, you know, seminar, workshops, or different, of course, you know, platforms? I know you're going to be a great, you're a great voice for this, but, you know, we merge and we actually walk in now into the awesome book you have, but just, in, you know, with people that's globally, do you think we're doing a bad job? I know we can always improve, of course, but do you think there are resources that we can actually reach out if we're in a situation that we need help?
Absolutely. There are resources, without a doubt. I think that, you know, people have to tap into the resources. They have to do the necessary work. I mean, you can go as far as to, if you can't Google, you know, resources, you can always walk into a hospital. They have social workers there that you could speak to privately and that you can go, and they can give you information. They can provide you with information that you need, the resources. You can even walk into a human resources office. They are now providing pamphlets and information on workshops, and, you know, they can also provide you with resources. So the resources are out there. I think that people have to understand that once you get sick and tired of being sick and tired and you want to make the move for better, then you will get up and you will make the necessary adjustments that you need. The one thing that I tell people all the time when I'm guest speaking, you know, therapy saved my life. And, you know, people say that, oh, you got to be crazy to go to therapy. And it's not necessarily so. You know, I think I, in my case, was aware that I was in a situation of depression and destruction, and I knew that I was so deep in and I was sinking. I was aware of the fact that I knew that I needed help. So I wasn't in denial. I knew that I needed help. And whatever was at me was bigger than what it was that I can even imagine, that I can think that I can try to do this by myself. So when I recognized that there was a situation, I got up and I went through the Yellow Pages and I found me a therapist. And I went to this therapist and I started to speak to this therapist, and then I did the necessary work that, you know, I felt like just doing a one-on-one session with her was not enough. So I started to take advantage of, like, going to therapy, doing group therapy 3 times a week, and doing individual counseling 2 times a week. So for 5 days a week for, like, 6 months, my days were just filled with going to group counseling and therapy, because I was that far in. And honestly speaking, that if I had not taken the necessary steps, I might not be here right now, because I had emotionally and mentally was broken from these 2 consecutive domestic violence relationships that I was in. And so, you know, although that I went and I was on medication, but that goes to say, if you have the drive, and I had the drive and the determination, okay, you are just going to put me on this medication to get me over this hump, but this is not going to be my life. I'm not going to be on this medication all my life. I'm going to take it now, and I'm going to do what I need to do to get myself back to where I need to be, get back to the Melissa that I once knew before all of this had taken place in my life. And that's what I did. So I am now medication-free, except one medication that I take, because I still suffer with anxiety and panic attacks, and I still suffer with PTSD. But those things are nothing compared to the things that I started out with 6 years ago. You know? So I think that when you recognize that you have a problem, the first step is to recognize that you have a problem and that you need help. You know, you can't do this. This is something that you most definitely is one of those things that you cannot do by yourself. You definitely need help to get over this. And I think that just goes, you know, the same with the abusers. You have to know if there has been a history of this in, you know, your family dynamics, that you have to understand that this is an issue. And see, that's what my thing was, that I have a middle sister. I'm the baby, and she's deceased now. But my middle sister stayed in and out of abusive relationships. And so then here I am, the baby, and so I get into two. And so the cycle stopped with me because I broke that cycle. And I was aware that it was, you know, I was aware that it was a problem. And I think that the abusers also have to understand that there's an issue deeper than them that they don't know about that causes them to do the things that they do. They might not admit it right away because they're not aware of it. And they're going to be in denial. And they're going to say, no, not me. What? No, that ain't got nothing to do with me. And honestly, it does. Because you've seen something or you've been somewhere and you picked up this behavior. You just did not wake up one morning and think that this was the way that you're supposed to treat your wife or your spouse or someone that you claim to love. You have to know that that's wrong.
Amen. Yes. I totally agree with you on that. Now, tell us about this awesome book that you have, because that goes right with all this information, ladies and gentlemen. You know, this is only the tip of the iceberg. She actually have an awesome, you know, book that she could tell us that she was a part of, that actually she put some of this information in, but of course we need to connect with her and talk to her on a personal level.
Absolutely. The book is a collaboration of me and two other authors. It actually hasn't dropped, but it's going to be dropped in 2 months. So we're in the process of getting out there, and it's called Queens Stand Up. And it's a collaboration of each one of us women have gone through some form of domestic violence. You know, there has been some drug issues with some prostitution. You know, there has been some molestation from family members and stuff like that. And then you have me who comes in, and I have the physical, the mental, the emotional part of domestic violence, where I have been hit in the street and had my nose fractured the day before my birthday, where I was choked within 10 seconds of surviving while sitting on the toilet. So then, you know, we try to cover. We all have had our hand in domestic violence at some form or fashion. So we came together to do this collaboration to show women that at some point we have to hold ourselves accountable for what happens. And so Queen Stands Up is saying, us three women have held ourselves accountable for what have happened, but now we are here to take our crowns back. We are aware of what the situation was to have us in these situations in the beginning, and we are now here standing with our hands held high. So we want all queens to know that they must stand up.
Wow. I love that. Hey, that sounds like a stage play in the work. Amen.
Yes, let's keep our fingers crossed. It would be awesome.
We're not alone. We're not alone. We need to get this out to the masses so we can help, you know, our brothers and sisters.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I was hoping, you know, although, you know, I tell people when I'm guest speaking and they, you know, they they look, and I have people ask me sometimes that, you know, are you dating, or would you ever date, or would you ever get married? Because my first abuser was my husband. And I would tell them, you know, I can't hold another man accountable for the actions of, you know, two in my past. You know, although I was abused by two, I still, you know, I still love my brothers. You know, I still love my men. I'm not giving up on them. And, you know, I'm aware of the fact that some of them are actually broken and need help. You know, but I do, I'm now very selective, you know, from what I've gone through in the past, that when I, you know, when you meet someone, is always, okay, if he does something that makes me feel uncomfortable, if he says something that triggers or makes me think back to what I've come from, I'm immediately out the door. No questions asked, ain't got time to go, I'm bye.
Yes.
I don't stick around, you know, I just don't stick around to, see what if, where it could go. If it makes me feel uncomfortable, there's a reason why it's making me feel uncomfortable. So I'm now going with my gut feeling.
Mm-hmm. I totally understand. Well, let me ask you this. You actually do workshops, seminars, and, of course, keynotes of speeches and programs in regards to speaking out of your domestic violence. Is there any type of, do most of them be men and women, or do you prefer to speak with, you know, mostly women?
My forums are open to everyone. Everyone, men, women, trying to get more teens involved because we're seeing, you know, we're seeing a lot of teens in high school now starting to go through this, and, you know, they need to know that what they think is, what they call puppy love, or they think it's cute because, you know, he's jealous or whatever. We need to get into their minds now and let them know that, no, this is not what it is. You know, I know this from experience. But the forums, they're open to men and women because although, you know, we hear more cases, you know, being reported from women than men, I am aware that men are also being abused. So although they don't, you know, they don't report it, or they do report it and, you know, it is not recorded or it's not, there's no mention of it, is because a lot of men are embarrassed to even, you know, to even admit that they are being abused, because us as women look at them and they're supposed to be superior, and we look at them and think that they are supposed to be our superior and they're supposed to take care of us and they're supposed to, you know, they protect us. And then when you hear of a man who is being abused, people look and, you know, they laugh or, you know, they make comments that so, you know, a lot of cases are not reported, but men just as well are being abused. They need to hear some of the things that are going on in these workshops and these seminars and things just as much as the women do.
Yes, I totally agree with that. Now, let me ask, because, you know, as you never know who actually are listening live or someone will share, you know, archives on the, you know, how social media is, you know, it's international, all over the world. Take a little bit and just speak to that person that may be in a situation like that, and they want to know what the, you know, because I know everybody may have a different step because you have to make this decision for yourself. But kind of just speak to us as in general, what's the next step if we recognize the signs that you just been saying? And, you know, we just went through that, an hour ago, last month. What's the next thing that we need to do, just, you know, generically, because I know every, you know, situation is different. And then when you finish that, please follow up on how we can support you on social media and, of course, how we can contact you for your awesome publications that's coming up and also for your seminars and workshops.
Absolutely. You know, I would say to anyone that is listening and have gone through this, whether it's been last night, last month, I would say it is not going to get better. Trust me when I tell you. You can tell yourself and you can make up all these excuses, a million and one excuses to yourself in your head that it is going to get better or that you believe in him. This is not the person that you fell in love with. He has become someone else. Trust me when I tell you, it is only going to get worse. And I would say that you need to get out now before that happens, because the longer you stay, the deeper you get in, the harder it becomes for you to leave and just walk away from the situation. But if you recognize that there is a situation and that you can do something about it before it gets to extreme physical, you know, you need to leave while you can. The next thing you need to do is, once you recognize that you need to leave, you need to take steps, make preparations in order to leave. Don't make any snap decisions that you're just going to up and you're just going to leave and pack your stuff and go. You have to be smart about the situations, because most homicides happen after the person has left their abuser. So you have to have all your ducks in a row to make sure that once you leave and you escape, that you have a safety net, a safe plan, someplace to go, that he will not be able to touch you. He will not be able to get in touch with you. He would, you know, if you know that you have someplace to go, I'm all for going into a shelter. If a shelter is going to keep you safe and you have kids, if it's going to keep you and your kids safe, I'm all for it. You know, people are not for it because if they've never been in that situation and to leave out of a home and or an apartment or whatever it is and have to go into some place that they are not used to, they are not open to the idea of doing that. I'm all for it. I say if it keeps you and your kid safe, there's no harm in going into a shelter. You have to understand that it is just a temporary situation, that, you know, it's just a stepping stone to help you get to that next level. If you have to go out and you have no means of resources, financial resources, always go and apply for aid, apply for assistance. You know, you can go to pantries. You have to understand this situation is only temporary and it's going to be like this until you can do better. Once you can rise above this and move past this, you're going to be good. The next thing is that once you leave, you have to make sure that there is no contact whatsoever. You need to change your number. You need not to reach out to people that you have mutually in common, because he is always going to be trying to find you and trying to locate you, because once he locates you, he's going to try to sweet talk you and he's going to try to suck you back in. Trust me, if you left and he sucks you back in, it's going to get worse than it was before, because he felt like you escaped, you left, the beatings, if it's already gotten to that point, they're just going to get worse. God forbid if you get one blow and that's it. So I would tell anybody, you know, there are resources out there. Please reach out and use them. By all means, you can reach out to me. I'm all over social media. You can reach out to me. I'm on Facebook. I'm as Melissa Holmes on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram as Love Shouldn't Hurt, New York Incorporated. You can also find me on LinkedIn, Melissa Holmes. I'm on Twitter as Melissa Holmes. You can either type in either Melissa Holmes or Love Shouldn't Hurt, New York NY Incorporated. I'm bound to pop up. I'm bound to pop up. If someone wants to reach out to me via email, they can send me an email. It's melissaholmes67.mh@gmail.com, or they can send an email to loveshouldn'thurt.ny10@gmail.com. You know, I'm currently in the process of raising money to do a documentary. And the documentary is going to be called The Invisible Scars of Domestic Violence. And so I've been making great stride. You know, if anyone would like to give a contribution, that would be awesome. You know, I've made great strides up till now. I've raised about $1,200. So I still have a little way to go, but I'm hoping that I could get the rest of this money and start to filming in June and, you know, get this out there so that this can also be used as an educational tool for those that need to see, you know, that can see and that can learn and understand the resources and understand how it can, you know, it affects the community. Even the kids are affected by this. You know, I had my two kids, you know, I was one of the fortunate ones, and I say this all the time, is that my daughter, when I moved to Baltimore, she was an adult and she stayed in New York. She has a family of her own, a husband and two kids, but my son was a minor. So between my husband being my first abuser and then the second abuser, my kids seen a lot. And, you know, my son was with me, you know, when I was getting beat, and he didn't see a lot of this because he was in school. But with all the trial and tribulations and from moving from state to state with my kids to try to escape my abuser, I can say that with counseling, my son and I also did counseling. You know, he was able to graduate from high school. He was able to maintain and stay focused in school and not drop out. And he graduated from high school in 2014. You know, that's not everybody's situation, but it could be, you know. Sometimes we just have to push extra hard. You know, sometimes we don't think that we're that strong until our back is up against the corner, up against the wall. And then somehow we find this inner strength, and we come out fighting. And that's what I had to do for mine. I've been backed up into the wall not once but twice, and I had to come out fighting, and I'm still fighting.
But you're going to continue because now you are helping so many wonderful people because now you are their voice, like you said earlier. But we thank you so much. A much, much, much needed topic that we need to talk about. You know, not just push it on the road. We need to talk about it and have some action. So we thank you, thank you, thank you so much, Melissa Holmes, for being here with us on Good Deeds.
Thank you so much for having me.
You guys, you know, we had an awesome, awesome session today. And please share this with your friends and family and all over social media because this is what we really need to talk about because, you know, you're not alone. We need to share and help each other because we are a village. If you want to know more about us, again, please go to our website, www.reneesunday.com. We'll see you next time. We love you, love you, love you. This is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. See you next time. Bye-bye.